Good morning.
Good morning.
We're going to start out with a little bit of an experiment. So Jessica's going to help me again. So these are just eggs from Aldi. They're not hard boiled or anything. But I'd like Jessica to walk over them and try not to break them. You want my arm?
No.
Okay. Oh, you broke one.
Homie, you said they weren't supposed to break.
Evenly
distributed.
You got it, 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 you got it. You got it. Oh. They did not break in round one. You got one good. Okay, cool. But the illustration works either way, so it's okay. There's a towel. So today we're in the book of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 to 33, if you want to read along. But Jessica, real quick, what did it feel like walking on eggs? Gross? Did it feel like they were secure? Okay. So if anybody wants some foot eggs, you're more than welcome to them after service. Just help yourself. So Matthew 14, this is directly after the feeding of the 5,000. So immediately he being Jesus, made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So this is just after the feeding of the 5,000. The disciples are on their boat. Jesus is alone praying. The disciples are taking the boat ahead of Jesus at his direction. And it's now nighttime, and there's this kind of a windstorm. And they're on their boat, and several of these guys used to be fishermen. So they should be comfortable in it. But verse 25 says, in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. So the Romans divided their nights into four parts and in four separate watches. The fourth part of the night is the last part of the night, the final hours right before dawn. And this means maybe, perhaps, one of the commentaries I read said there could have been a glimmer of light coming up from the east due to the time of this, which is exactly the direction that Jesus approaches this boat from. So Jesus begins walking out to them in this stormy, windy, final part of the night. And when the disciples see him, they're terrified and they cried out that he's a ghost. And what did Peter do as a job? Before becoming a disciple, he was a fisherman. Fishermen in this time often believed that people who perished on the sea, their ghosts would hover around the place where they perished at night. So naturally, as fishermen, you see this human figure illuminated from some light behind him walking out to you in the middle of the night on top of the water during this windstorm. And it's kind of a creepy scene. Like, I would be a bit creeped out too. I don't know what I would think. But Jesus is doing three things by doing this. He's revealing his divinity, which he just did at the feeding of the 5,000 as well. He's testing the disciples' faith, and practically he's just reaching them as they're so far away from him. And he is fulfilling scripture. Job 9:8 says, "He alone stretches out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea." He alone stretches out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea. Jesus is fulfilling the scripture and proclaiming his personhood as not only fully human, but fully God. And the question is, how strong are the disciples' faith? So, when I was really young, like learning how to swim young, my parents had a trailer up at around Silver Lake and Hill Lake and a pontoon. And we used to go up there probably about every other weekend during the summer. And it was a lot of fun. I liked the pontoon, but I didn't quite know how to swim yet. But my dad thought that I should be able to swim because I was only 2 years younger than my brother and he could swim fine. So I went out with just my dad. My mom wasn't there. This wouldn't have happened. So we're out in the pontoon in the middle of the lake and my dad picks me up and says, "It's time for me to learn how to swim." So he tosses me into the water from the boat. And I don't remember a lot from this age, but I do remember I was very terrified of being in the middle of the lake. But he was looking over the edge of the boat, giving me instructions, and after a couple of minutes of thrashing and yelling for my dad to help me, and him giving me instructions, I started to be able to hold my head just above water just a little bit longer each time. I was never really in any danger. My dad was a great swimmer. He used to be a lifeguard, and he was right there giving me instructions. But I thought that I was in danger, and I didn't want to be in the water. And Jesus, walking on the water towards the boat, told his disciples, "Do not be afraid, it is I," which is what the NIV says, but you could also translate it as, "Do not be afraid, I am," which is another statement about his divinity. So Peter, also wanting to test if this is really Jesus and not a ghost, if he really is Jesus, the Son of God, he says, "If it is you, command me to come out on the water with you." And so he did, and Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on water. "If it is you," he said. "Lord, if it is you, command me to come out to you." Now, unlike my dad, Jesus didn't throw Peter in. But much like my dad tested my skills, Jesus is testing Peter's faith. Peter can't walk on water without Jesus. This isn't something he can learn to do on his own, just like we can't really walk on eggs if we really want to all the time. He has to depend on Jesus to be there so he doesn't fall in, and to be there if he does fall in. And Peter, being comfortable in water as a fisherman, is the only one who has the courage, which is to be commended, has the courage to face what frightened him, a ghost, has the courage to ask his teacher to allow him to come to him, and has the courage to ask Jesus to let him do a miracle as well in walking on water. So has anyone ever heard the phrase, "dust of the rabbi"? Okay. So for a first century Jewish man to be called to be a student, a disciple of a rabbi, was an incredible honor. It was expected that you would shadow the rabbi, the teacher. You would follow them wherever they went. You would learn from them how they talked, how they taught, how they read scriptures, and how they lived. And you can imagine walking in these areas of sand and dust, following your rabbi, your teacher. You would be covered in the dust of your rabbi. Meaning when you learn from your rabbi how to speak, how to live, how to interpret scripture, you would eventually imitate them. You would be as your teacher. So when Jesus called Peter to come follow me, he meant come learn to do as I do. And that's what Peter wants to do here. "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He wants to imitate his teacher. He wants to do what his teacher is doing. He sees his teacher walking on water. He wants to imitate him. He wants to be like his teacher. But it doesn't last long. He's taking a few steps, and it's like unbelievable, right? Like, I'm walking on water. I'm doing what my teacher, who I love so much, is doing. But then he begins to feel these strong winds, and his faith wanes. And he becomes afraid, and he begins to sink and cries out to Jesus, "Save me." "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Because the only reason that Peter's even walking on water is because of Jesus. The only thing that saved him at the time of his sinking was Jesus. And Jesus does just that, reaching out his hand. "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And how many times does God think about that in our lives, in my life? You of little faith, why did you doubt? Why are you doubting? Why are you worrying? Why can't you just trust me? And that's no matter who you relate to in the story, because there's a couple different options. You could be Peter with his eyes fixed on Jesus, walking towards him on water, imitating your rabbi, imitating your teacher. Or you could be Peter with his eyes wandering and the winds scaring him and losing faith and sinking. Or the third option is we could be one of the disciples in the boat who were so struck by fear that we stayed comfortably in our boat while the waves rocked the boat. And no matter where you're at in your walk, whether you're faithfully walking towards Jesus on the water, whether you're sinking, or whether you're still in the boat, Jesus is still the only answer. Either keep looking at him, you sink, or you call out to him, or you stay in the boat. And the question for us today is, what would it look like if we stepped out of the boat? What would it look like for some of us to ignore the storm around us and to fix our eyes on Jesus and ask him to save you from the storm? There's this other story in the Bible where the disciples and Jesus are out on the water, and this storm comes up, and all these disciples who used to be fishermen or used to being on the water are so afraid, and they shake Jesus awake, asking him to save them, and he has a similar response of, "You of little faith," but he calms the storm. Because God is bigger than any storm that we're facing, any wind that's intimidating us. Because when we fix our eyes on what's important, everything else becomes secondary. When the only thing that we fear is God, nothing else can cause us fear. So if you feel like you're in the boat, not experiencing God, not imitating your teacher, but you see others experiencing him and you want to step out in faith, maybe it's time to step out of the boat. When you finally get out of the boat like Peter, it might feel uneasy, out of your comfort zone. It might feel like you're walking on eggs that are about to crack. It's not natural. You might think, "Am I really doing this?" And you can't really do it unless your eyes are on Jesus. Peter wanted to do what his teacher did. He wanted to imitate him. But do we want to do the same thing? Do we truly want to imitate our rabbi? Are we comfortable staying in the boat, safe from ghosts and winds and storms? Or are we comfortable walking to Jesus across the storm? I imagine these other disciples in the boat, kind of terrified and afraid, and they think they're safe in the boat, but they're watching Peter, and they see this, their leader, this courageous one amongst them, step out and walk towards Jesus, and he starts doing it as well. He starts walking on water as well. And then they become even more afraid because anxiety and apprehension creep in. And they start thinking, am I next? Right? Do I have to do that? Like you're waiting your turn for something that you're really afraid to do. And we do the same thing, right? Sometimes we're like, at least it's not me. Peter did it, that's great for him, but I'm going to stay in my boat because it's safe here. But what would it look like if we all stepped out of the boat? What would it look like in this community if we as a building stepped out of our boat and started walking towards Jesus? In other words, what if we live our lives covered in the dust of our teacher? So, before the final song, I'm going to do the benediction because I think the final song will be a great celebration before we lead out. So, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Amen.